Welcome to Between the Lines, where we journey beyond the surface of Scripture with hosts David and Jonathan. Get ready to deepen your faith as we uncover the hidden gems of the Bible. Without further ado, here's our show.
All right, you're here with David and Jonathan on Between the Lines, Understanding the Bible on WVFF 97.7. Glad you could join us. We are at the Book of Kings. Please catch up with our earlier episodes on WVFFradio.com. WVFFradio.com. It's under the heading Between the Lines. Starts there in Genesis, and we will finish the book here in a few months. Bible is an amazing creation that God put here as a guidepost to us. But you read it on the surface, you don't get everything. You've got to look at it over and over and over and over again. Sometimes single words can change entire passages if you understand the meaning, and sometimes you take them back to the original transcript, the Hebrew and the Greek, and it's just a light bulb comes on. Wow, that's what that means. You got to go into this book over, and I've read this book in its entirety over 100 times in different passages, hundreds of times, and every time I come back to this book, I open up, something else opens up to me. God says, it does my heart good for kings to search out the mysteries and the hidden mysteries in my book. Don't go home without reading it. So, episode one will blow your mind. I suggest you go and read it, because I don't say it if it's not in black and white and I can't back it up. But this is not the first time that men have been on this earth. And if you read this book in its totality, you'll see that science and the Bible go hand in hand. Satan doesn't want that to happen. He wants science to put doubt in people's minds. But yes, those fossils are millions of years old. And yes, the line of Adam has only been here 8,000 or 9,000 years. That's all right here in the Bible, because God had already flooded the earth one time. It's right there in Jeremiah. And at that point, he put out the sun. And if you turn from Jeremiah back to Genesis, there is where it is. The earth is dark and void and covered with water. And God says, let there be light, for at least a second time. There are two accounts of the creation of man. God created him male and female, told him to replenish the earth. You can only replenish something if it had people there already. And then after the seventh day, he says, oh, there's no man to till the soil in my garden. His temple at the time, Jeremiah said that the wonderful place had become a wilderness. So God's ready. He's got man started again on the earth. He's got everything created. He rested on the seventh day. Now he wants a special man to mind his garden, his priest. The line of Adam was never meant to procreate. Only the fall from grace, the sin that came in, was the reason that they did. And from that point, God would establish a clean bloodline to bring Jesus Christ forward. But there were two children in the womb of Eve with two different fathers. Believe it or not, it's right there between the lines. You got to read it. Go to episode one. So God gave Abraham the first covenant, which was simply, follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. How easy can it get? Well, they couldn't do that. Children of Israel could not do that. So then God laid the law on them. Let's do it the hard way if you don't want to do it the easy way. And then they requested a king, although God wanted to be their king. And the kings didn't work out very well. And we are on the second king right now, King David. Saul was a disaster. David is a man after God's own heart. And 2 Samuel is a required reading at least 50, 60 times, because you're going to read things in there that don't make sense, where David says, I did all of God's statutes. I followed all of his regulations. No, he actually didn't. But his heart was true the entire time. And that's the entire theme of this Old Testament, is the heart. God wants your heart. He says, follow me with all your heart. So Christ came back to reestablish the first covenant, which was not the Ten Commandments. That was the second one. Believe it or not, I know pastors calls it the first covenant, but it's not. God says, follow me with all your heart to Abraham. I establish a covenant with you, Abraham. Follow me with all your heart and circumcise your children. He only brought the second covenant, the law, into effect because Abraham's children couldn't do it. So, and then Christ will, he did, he came and made his supreme sacrifice and reestablished the first covenant. Follow me with all your heart and be baptized. It's that easy. I tell you, Christian, if you want to dabble in the law, it ends in bondage and death. And the law was established by God to show man that there's nothing that he can possibly do to make himself holy with his hands.
Not by works.
Not by works.
Boasts.
Exactly. And that's what the law was. It became so large and so binding. Statute after statute. You can be sinful, not even knowing it, accidentally. It's amazing if you study the law in Leviticus and Deuteronomy. It's amazing how quickly and easily you go and make your sacrifice, and moments later you are sinful, and sometimes you don't even know it. It's something that a Christian does not want to dabble in. If you confess Jesus Christ and you hold on to any tittle of the law, then you must keep the entire law, and you cannot have Christ, okay? Because what you're doing is telling Christ, I know your supreme sacrifice and all the torture you went through was for my salvation under this your covenant, your new covenant, but it just wasn't good enough. I wish you would have left a little bit of the law in there, but, you know, you can't have it both ways. Accept Christ's freedom or live under the law. There's no middle ground there. So we're in Kings at the end of David's kingdom. David's old now. And we get started here in chapter 1 of the book of Kings. Now, King David was an old and stricken in years. They covered him with cloths, but he get no heat. He couldn't stay warm. Wherefore his servants had said unto him, Let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin. Let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get heat. Every old man's dream there, Jonathan. Let's go. Oh, I wish I had handlers like that in my waning years. Let's go find the most beautiful virgin in the land and let her attend to him.
Or an electric blanket.
Wherefore his servant said unto him, Let there be sought for my lord the king a young virgin. Let her stand before the king, and let her cherish him, and let her lie in thy bosom, that my lord the king may get heat. All kinds of heat, both mind and body. So they sought for a fair damsel throughout all the coast of Israel, and found Abishag, a Shulamite, and brought her to the king. And the damsel was very fair, and cherished the king, and ministered to him. But the king knew her not. He was quite old. Then Adonijah, the son of Haggith, exalted himself, saying, I will be king. And he prepared him chariots and horsemen and 50 men to run before him. Adonijah. That's David's son. And as many times as I've read this book, these names still twist my tongue up. Adonijah, David's son, he's got it in his head. David has many, many, many sons. He has many, many, many wives and concubines. And he says, I'm going to be king. My father's getting ready to die, so I'm going to make myself king. Normally the father says who is going to follow him. And his father had not displeased. And his father had not displeased him at any time in saying, Why hast thou done so? And he also was a very goodly man. And his mother bare him after Absalom. And he conferred with Joab, the son of Zeruiah. And that's the head of David's army. With Abiathar the priest. And they followed Adonijah and helped him. So we got a little coup going on there. And this is, well, David was told this when he had his affair with Bathsheba. He said, there will be strife from within your family, and your family line will have the sword all of its days. So, and we still see that today in the nation of Israel. the sword must be used all the time to keep the nation safe. So we got a little strife within the family again. David already overcame a coup by his other son and came back to the throne. So now this next son, he's going to do the same thing. But Zadok the priest, Benaiah the son of Jehoiada, and Nathan the prophet, and Shimei, and Rei, and the mighty men which belonged to David were not with Adonijah. So his most trusted advisors and soldiers did not go along with it. They stayed with him. And Adonijah slew sheep and oxen and fat cattle by the stone of Zehelith, which is by Enrogel, and called all his brethren, the king's sons, and all the men of Judah, the king's servants. So he's throwing a big banquet, and they're all going to know that he is now king just because he has done this big, wonderful banquet and called all the most important people in the land to it. But Nathan the prophet and Benaiah and the mighty men and Solomon his brother, he called not. So he knew who would not go along with it, and he didn't bother putting them on the list. Wherefore Nathan spake unto Bathsheba, the mother of Solomon, saying, Hast thou not heard that Adonijah the son of Haggith doth reign, and David our Lord knoweth it not? I want you to notice something here. David was willing to sacrifice his entire kingdom for Bathsheba at one point because of her beauty and I'm sure her charm. But you're going to see here in just a second how far from her he is now, because those things are superficial. All the pleasures in life are momentary and superficial, and especially when you're king and you can have 35 wives if you want. They come and go. And you'll see that Bathsheba held no special place in his heart except for the child that she bare him. Therefore, come, let me, I pray thee, give thee counsel that thou mayest save thine own life and the life of thy son Solomon. Go and get thee unto the king David and say unto him, Didst not thou, my lord, though king, swear unto thine handmaid, saying, Assuredly, Solomon thy son shall reign after him. Now, David had made this promise to her years ago that the son Solomon, the one born after the first one died, and the first one died because of the curse that God had placed on David because of his adulterous affair and the murder of Uriah, Bathsheba's husband, to cover it up. So the child that she was pregnant with died. The second one lived, and he told Bathsheba he would be king. That he shall sit upon my throne when then doth Adonijah reign. So you told me my son Solomon would be king, but your other son Adonijah, he's already becoming king. Behold, while thou yet talkest there with the king, I also will come in after thee and confirm thy words. So Nathan is doing some of this behind-the-scenes stuff. Not lying, but secretive, yeah. You know, kind of bringing things about.
Right.
And trying to tell the king something without coming out and telling him something. And Bathsheba went in unto the king into the chamber, and the king was very old, and Abishag the Shulamite ministered unto the king, and Bathsheba bowed and did obeyance unto the king, and the king says, What wouldest thou? So there's no special relationship there anymore. She's just one of the many wives. She comes in, she bows down to him, and he says, What will you have? And Bathsheba bowed and did obeyance unto the king, and the king says, What wouldest thou? And she said unto him, May my lord, thou swearest by the Lord thy God unto thine handmaid, saying, Assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne. Now behold, Adonijah reigneth. And now, my lord the king, thou knowest it not. And David kind of knew it. We just read a little bit of that. He kind of seen that Adonijah wanted to be king and was kind of moving himself in that direction. But David, we've seen in the past, did not have the heart to chastise his children correctly. He was a very loving father, especially with the last son that tried to take over his kingdom. After he was come to battle with them, David said, make sure you don't harm him.
Yeah.
You know, and that made everybody in the kingdom mad. This man had run the king out of Jerusalem, had taken over the entire kingdom, tried to have David killed, and David said, oh, don't hurt my son, don't hurt my son. Well, this one here, Adonijah, he's kind of been ignoring the fact that Adonijah was kind of setting himself up to be king, even though David had promised Solomon was going to be king. He had slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and had called all the sons of the king, and Abiathar the priest, and Joab the captain of the host, but Solomon thy servant hath he not called. And thou, my lord, O king, the eyes of all Israel are upon thee, that thou shouldest tell them who shall sit on the throne of my lord the king after him. Otherwise it shall come to pass, when my lord the king shall sleep with his fathers, that I and my son Solomon shall be counted offenders. So she's also afraid that once Adonijah becomes king, that her and Solomon will be killed, because everyone knows that Solomon was going to be king. And lo, while she yet talked with King Nathan, the prophet also came in. And they told the king, saying, behold, Nathan the prophet. And when he was come in before the king, he bowed himself before the king with his face to the ground. And Nathan said, my lord, O king, hast thou said Adonijah shall reign after me? And he shall sit upon my throne, for he is gone down this day and hath slain oxen and fat cattle and sheep in abundance, and hath called all the king's sons and the captains of the host and Abiathar the priest. And behold, they eat and drink before him and say, God save King Adonijah. So it's basically happened and you don't even know about it. Covertly. That was the word I was looking for earlier.
Yeah, perfect. Yep.
Yeah, Nathan was doing a covert operation, which we see time and time again, God setting up. But me, even me, my servant, and Zadok the priest, and Benaiah, and the son of Jehadiah, and thy servant Solomon, hath he not called? Is this thing done by my lord the king? And thou hast not showed it unto thy servant, who should sit on the throne of my lord the king after him? And King David answered and said, call me Bathsheba. She came into the king's presence and stood before the king. And the king swore and said, as the Lord liveth, that hath redeemed my soul out of all distress, even as I swear unto thee by the Lord God of Israel, saying, assuredly Solomon thy son shall reign after me, and he shall sit upon my throne in my stead, even so will I certainly do this day. So David was just a little late in setting up who was going to run the kingdom, but it didn't matter, because this was a curse that came from the affair with Bathsheba. God said, you will have strife within your family. You pay for your sins, Christian, in this world. Yes, Jesus Christ, through his sacrifice, will make the spirit man within you holy one day when it stands before God. This flesh is not going to stand before God. Whatever you do in this flesh that is out of the bounds of God's righteousness, you will pay for in the flesh. You will have heartache and sorrow and sickness and disease. What did Jesus say to the man after he healed him? He says, go and sin no more, lest a worse disease come upon you. Then Bathsheba bowed with her face to the earth and did reverence to the king and said, let my lord King David live forever. King David said, call me Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet. Benaiah, the son of Jehadiah, Jehoiada. And they came before the king, and the king also said unto them, take with you the servants of your lord, and cause Solomon my son to ride upon mine own mule. Bring him down to Gihon, and let Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet anoint him their king over Israel. And blow ye the trumpet, and say, God save King Solomon. Then he shall come up after him, and he may come and sit upon my throne, for he shall be king in my stead, and I have appointed him to be ruler over Israel and over Judah. So David says, I take him right now, get my mule, take him over there, and anoint him king, and blow the trumpets and let everyone know he's king. At the same time, this big banquet is going on for David's other son, who is proclaimed himself king. And Benaiah, the son of Jehoiada, answered the king and said, amen, the Lord God of the Lord, the king, say to so too. As the Lord hath been with my lord and the king, even so be he with Solomon. Make his throne greater than the throne of my lord David. So Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada and the Cherethites and the Pelethites went down and caused Solomon to ride upon King David's mule, brought him to Gihon. And Zadok the priest took a horn of oil out of the tabernacle and anointed Solomon. And they blew the trumpet, and all the people said, God save King Solomon. And all the people came up after him, and the people piped with pipes and rejoiced with great joy, so that the earth rent with a sound of them. So there was thousands more at this celebration than there were was at the banquet for Adonijah becoming king. And Adonijah and all the guests that were with him heard it, as they had made an end of eating. So they're all having their banquet. What's that noise?
Wait, what?
Man, sounds like a carnival out there. What's going on? And when Joab heard the sound of the trumpet, he said, wherefore is this noise of the city being in an uproar? And while he yet speak, behold, Jonathan, the son of Abathar, the priest, came in. And Adonijah said unto him, come in, for thou art a valiant man, and bring us good tidings. Yeah, bring us some good news. Yeah. What's going on out there in the city?
Well, I'm going to tell you.
Yeah, I really don't want to know this. King? Are you king?
Are you really king?
And Jonathan answered and said to Adonijah, verily our Lord King David hath made Solomon king. And the king hath sent with him Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet and Benaiah the son of Jehoiada and the Cherethites and the Pelethites. They have caused him to ride upon the king's mule. Oh, no, not the king's mule. He's actually on the king's mule.
Coming in on a donkey. Oh,
no, that means he is king. And Zadok the priest and Nathan the prophet had anointed him king of Gihon. They are come up from thence rejoicing, so that the city rang again. This is the noise that you have heard. And also Solomon sitteth on the throne of the kingdom. And moreover, the king's servants came to bless our Lord King David, saying, God make the name of Solomon better than thy name, make thy throne greater than thy throne. And the king bowed himself upon the bed. And also thus said the king, blessed be the Lord God of Israel, which hath given one to sit on my throne this day, mine eyes even seeing it. And all the guests that were with Adonijah were afraid and rose up and went every man his way.
I wasn't here.
The room emptied.
Yeah, I was not here.
Before this guy got the last words out of his mouth, yeah. This banquet table that seats 100.
All the chairs.
You hear the tires squealing out front. The chariot wheels peeling out.
Yes, sir.
And Adonijah feared because of Solomon and arose and went and caught hold of the horns of the altar. And it was told Solomon, saying, behold, Adonijah feareth King Solomon, for lo, he hath caught hold on the horns of the altar, saying, let King Solomon swear unto me today that he will not slay his servant with the sword. That was one place, if you were in serious trouble, you could go and grab a hold to, and they wouldn't kill you, although they did in some times. There's places in there where they broke the rules and went ahead and killed them right there. But you weren't supposed to kill them right there. You're supposed to listen to them, yeah, plead their case.
It's supposed to be like freeze tag, where you can run and grab a tree, and they can't touch you.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But Solomon said, if he will show himself a worthy man, there shall not a hair of him fall to the earth.
We'll be back with more spiritual insights on Between the Lines after a brief message from our sponsors. Stay tuned!